The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Dr. Don Colbert offers simple dietary changes that can help you overcome cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, dementia, depression, and more.
We catch a cold, we catch the flu, but we develop most diseases by consistently making the wrong food choices. And if we can't resist a bowl of ice cream, a cookie, a brownie, then how are we going to resist the devil?
Well, I'm just so glad that you've joined us. This is really a special program. You know, I'm James Robinson, by the way. Welcome to Life Today. You're going to hear Sheila Walsh and Randy talk to Dr. Don Colbert. And it's on the subject, let food be your medicine. Now, listen, what we've been through has not been healthy for a lot of people in many ways, not only emotionally and psychologically, but even physically. And we really do. You see what a disease can do? But do you realize as many people as died of the coronavirus die every year in the United States, far more, by self-inflicted disease because of what they eat or don't eat? And Don Colbert, he's not only a gifted communicator, and I don't know that he's ever communicated more effectively than he did with Sheila and with Randy, our son, but this is for you. This could be the miracle that not only adds years to your life, but life to your years. That's what our doctor, Connor, used to say over and over. This is really important. And with what we've been through, I'm telling you, you are about to get blessed. And then I'm going to show you how you can be the greatest miracle blessing someone or some family ever experienced. And it is an instant, immediate, miraculous action. Listen to Dr. Don Colbert with our son Randy and Sheila Walsh.
We're going to talk about something that can affect a lot of people. Cardiovascular disease, arthritis, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, I believe is correct, cancer, dementia, depression, and so much more. These are the things you're dealing with in this book, and you're not talking about surgeries and drugs and things like that. You're talking about something that we all can do.
Right, and it's your food. And unfortunately, so many people with these diseases are consistently choosing the foods that invite the disease into the body. And that's why I like to tell people, have you passed the food test? Now, again, I've got grandbabies. I've got a 2-year-old. He still hadn't passed his food test. But my 5-year-old and 7-year-old pass it every time.
Wow.
And the reason, okay, well, first of all, let me explain the food test they passed. They got cavities, and their daddy wouldn't show them what happens when you have cavities. You have to have shots in your mouth.
Yeah.
And they got a drill, and they've got to put in some material, and it's going to hurt.
Yes.
And they saw the effects of having cavities. If you don't address them in time, you can lose your teeth, you can get infection, you can have horrible, horrible, periodontal disease, which is, they saw the picture of it. They got that picture in their head, and now guess what? When someone offers them sugar at school or anywhere else, or a soda,
they're
you know what they say? They say, no. No, thank you. And that is passing the food test. Let me explain the food test, because as Christians, most Christians don't realize that they're failing the food test, and if they can't pass the simple food test, how are they going to resist the devil trying to kill them? So let me kind of paint the picture.
Woo!
Okay, so first of all, Adam and Eve, the first key test they came to was the food test. And Adam and Eve both failed it. Eve failed it first and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and then gave it to Adam. They failed it. From that moment on, it infected the human race with sin. Now, Jesus came and he had to pass the food test. But you remember Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. Now, that's Jesus prophesied hundreds of years before he came. The next verse says, butter and honey shall he eat that he may know to avoid the evil and choose the good. In other words, by learning to choose the right foods, he'll learn to avoid evil and choose good. Fast forward to when Jesus came. He was just baptized by John the Baptist, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. And now, again, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. This is Matthew chapter 4. Now, also, after 40 days, it says, after 40 days of fasting, it says, Jesus hungered. He was really hungry. Mm-hmm. So then Satan comes at his weakest moment, and he says, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread.
And, or Twinkies.
The Twinkie. But this was the food test. Remember, Adam and Eve failed it, infected the human race with sin. Jesus passed it by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. Again, realize that we catch a cold, we catch the flu, but we develop most diseases by consistently making the wrong food choices. And if we can't resist a bowl of ice cream, a cookie, a brownie, a chocolate chip cookie, or an Oreo cookie, then how are we going to resist the devil? How are we going to resist diabetes, cancer, dementia, heart disease, high blood pressure, all the disease? It starts by passing the food test.
Okay, let me just back up a little bit and ask this question. Is it a question of saying yes to certain foods?
Yes.
Or a question of saying no to other foods, or both?
Both. And again, it's learning the secret, and it's practicing a fruit of the Spirit called temperance. And this is a fruit that so few people teach about. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And the last fruit it talks about is temperance or self-control. Now, what I've learned is certain foods with certain diseases, the flesh is going to crave the very food that invites that disease, such as, for example, diabetes. Most every patient that comes in with type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes, what's the food they crave?
Sugar.
Sugar. Mm. Or foods that convert to sugar, like white bread, pasta, crackers, bagels, pretzels, things like that. So again, the flesh is going to generally crave the very food that invites the disease in. So it's so critical now to identify those foods and give them healthy alternatives that will also prevent these appetite hormones from going crazy. And that's what I teach people how to do.
Is it the same for everyone? Or is every single human being a little different in their individual chemistry?
It's interesting. Over the last 30 years, what I've found is many of these diseases share common characteristics of the very foods they crave that literally create that disease. For example, we talked about diabetes, but high blood pressure. It's almost always three key foods, salty foods, as well as foods with a lot of wheat and a lot of corn. A lot of people are corn-fed and they have high blood pressure. When we decrease their sodium in their diet tremendously and then lay the wheat and the corn on the altar for a season, their blood pressure starts to come down dramatically. Then we add some key nutritional supplements and foods that help to lower the blood pressure even more, like dark chocolate.
Oh, a bit of good news, finally.
Yeah, exactly.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Dark chocolate that is 85% or higher chocolate with low sugar, only 1 gram of sugar per square, you can have that every hour or two.
Oh,
or
I'm
three.
Healthy.
Every hour or two.
I'm healthier than I realized.
And I'm telling you, it lowers the blood pressure beautifully, as does pomegranates, as does beets. Now, beets can be high in sugar, so we use a beet extract. And olive leaf will also do that, as well as celery. Celery helps to lower blood pressure amazingly well.
So what about the huge, I mean, in America, we have a chronic obesity problem.
Oh,
I mean, and it's something that really is heartbreaking. When you see children, you know, young children who are chronically obese,
right.
What would you say to someone who says, listen, I've tried every diet on the market and I've quit?
It's not the diet, it's the lifestyle. And again, it's putting in living foods. It's taking your children to the grocery store and showing them God's foods, which are the fruits and the vegetables and the nuts and the seeds and the beans and the peas and the lentils, which is the modified Mediterranean diet, and giving these children, instead of fake cereals with all this sugar in them, that's going to spike their sugar. See, the obesity epidemic is due to just a few things. It's real simple, especially in our children. Too much sugar, too much MSG. MSG is in most all processed foods and in many fast food restaurants. When you eat MSG, which is disguised with many different names that I talk about, it's going to increase your appetite. You'll eat as much as 40% more when you consume MSG. And it also excites the brain. It's a excitotoxin, which then can trigger ADD symptoms, ADHD, and all of these problems where the children, and this is what we're seeing. And then processed foods. Way too much processed foods, which is spiking the insulin level and programming weight gain. We show them how to get out of this pattern. It's simple, but we got to make changes. Simple changes make profound changes in their health and their weight loss.
Give us some good news. Tell us what we can eat that will have that profound change. It's something that generally everybody can do.
Okay, for example, for breakfast. We need a big breakfast, especially to lose weight, because the bigger the breakfast is going to turn down these appetite hormones, and I talk in detail about controlling, helping to boost the leptin and overcome leptin resistance, which is causing this runaway appetite, and then lowering the ghrelin. Ghrelin causes us to get hungry. And leptin is the one that tells us we're full or satisfied. Well, it just so happens ghrelin is easy to control. If you eat every 3 to 4 hours, this hormone stays low, but you got to eat the right types of foods.
So what would a big breakfast look like? Yeah.
For example, steel-cut oatmeal. People say, steel-cut oatmeal, I can't eat that. I don't have time to cook it. It's so simple. All they do is put about a half a cup or a child, a quarter cup, in a bowl, add about a cup of almond milk, and then let it sit in the fridge overnight. And then put some nuts in there, some walnuts or pecans or any kind of nut you like.
That's pretty good.
And then put some fruit in there. Put a little, now for children, you put a little bit of honey, just a little bit, but again, to sweeten oatmeal. That's going to fill them up. And then also eggs. But instead of eating a lot of the yolks, have 3 whites, 1 yolk. Make it into an omelet, add the veggies in there, the onions, and even some tomatoes.
Some peppers, maybe?
Sure, except for me.
Yeah, except for
now,
you.
I can have them every 3 or 4 days,
okay.
No problem.
Okay.
And even some avocados. And those kids need fats, especially for our children's brains. We need the fats, but the right kinds of fats.
Mm-hmm.
The healthy fats like avocados, almond butter, olive oil, macadamia nuts, any kind of these monounsaturated fatty acids, as well as fish, which is fatty fish like Alaskan wild salmon, or sardines, or tonga tuna, or healthy brain, healthy food.
Is this a very expensive diet for people to follow?
No, it's not expensive at all, but it's highly filling, highly satisfying, full of fiber so that you're going to be full for hours, at least that 4-hour window. But then that's why you need healthy snacks about every 4 hours so that the ghrelin level doesn't come up high and trigger an insatiable appetite. That's what people are struggling with, are these appetite hormones. We show you how to turn them down and many times turn them off.
Now, what about fruit? Because surely fruit has a lot of sugar in it too.
Well,
so can you overdo it?
Now, again, if you're drinking, it's the fruit juice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're drinking a lot of fruit juice, you're going to gum up your liver and it'll trigger a fatty liver. It'll also trigger insulin resistance. And then you get in a cycle of weight gain. And so many people are drinking healthy juices in the form of apple juice, orange juice, mm-hmm. but it's way too much. That's why I tell people, get little Dixie cups, only 2 to 3 ounces, and just fill that Dixie cup up, and that's it. If you're going to drink juice, that's all you should have.
Interesting.
But if you have 12 ounces of juice, guess what? That fructose is going to cause you to gain weight, and it's going to mess up your appetite hormones, your leptin and your ghrelin.
You've got a lot of great meal plans in the book outlining this specifically. But you also mentioned that a lot of people, like the peppers, you can't eat a lot of peppers because it triggers your body.
If I eat it every day, correct. A lot of it. Right.
How do you know what your body can take that may not be necessarily, strictly by the book, if you will?
Well, very good question. And again, what we do, if a person has autoimmune disease, we find that these people generally react to certain foods or osteoarthritis. Usually we find people with arthritis, osteoarthritis, or rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune diseases, usually crave certain foods that inflame their joints that may be healthy food for other people. For example, typically nightshades will inflame them. Nightshades are a form of vegetable that is highly inflammatory for certain conditions. And these include tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, eggplant, and paprika.
So certain people aren't going to respond well to that.
Certain people, if they eat those every day, they're inviting inflammation in their body, especially if they have osteoarthritis or certain autoimmune disease like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. Now, also genetically modified foods. Unfortunately, in the 1990s, we started genetically modifying a lot of our foods, especially most of our corn. About 90% of our corn is genetically modified, as well as our soy, cottonseed oil, canola oil, and sugar. 90% of these foods are genetically modified, which make them more inflammatory to our bodies. Mm. And so as a result, since these genetically modified foods have been used in the U.S., we have seen an escalation of autoimmune disease over the last 20 years.
You've been dealing with this a lot. You've dealt with a lot of your patients, right?
Absolutely.
Kind of give us an idea of maybe how much difference just understanding what we should eat and sticking to a meal plan that fits us and that's healthy. How dramatic of a difference can that make based on your experience?
Well, I treat every disease. I treat diseases from type 2 diabetes, type 1 diabetes, dementia, Parkinson's, cancer, advanced cancer, and heart disease, cardiovascular disease. Just this past week, I'll give you a simple example. A lady came in and she was having checked her EKG a year ago, or excuse me, 6 months ago, and she showed an abnormality on her EKG, where she had a 50% blockage in her left anterior descending branch of her left coronary artery back about 5 years ago. She started seeing me just a few years ago. We put her on the anti-inflammatory dietary program and a few key supplements. Now, her EKG was abnormal, so I sent her to the cardiologist. He took her through a stress test. It was abnormal. He says, you need a heart cath. So she consented to the heart cath, and they told her, she says, well, I know I've got a blockage in one of my arteries, 50%. They came back and says, no, it's not 50%. It's now 20%.
Wow. It's gone the other way.
It's gone the other way. And I've seen this over and over. It starts many times to reverse disease. Mm. I cannot tell you how many type 2 diabetes we've seen reversed. And by reversed, I mean the hemoglobin A1C is less than 5.6. And it is amazing how many hypertensives, as well as early dementias.
But that's fascinating to me. I mean, that the dementia is something we seems to be increasing in our culture.
It is increasing. And that's what's scary, because over the next 30 years or so, dementia is expected to triple here in the U.S. It is following the obesity and the diabetes epidemic. Mm. And now they're saying dementia is type 3 diabetes. But again, it's the foods. Mm-hmm. Realize that when people have dementia, the first thing I do for them, I take them off the gluten, because gluten is highly inflammatory for the brain for so many of my dementia patients. Mm-hmm. And then I put them on these healthy fats. The brain is about 70% fat. So we need healthy fats for the brain to put out the inflammation. All dementia is inflammation in the brain. And when we put them on these powerful anti-inflammatory foods, you say, such as blueberries, strawberries,
good stuff,
walnuts, pecans, cashews, hazelnuts. It's the modified Mediterranean diet. Mm. And it puts out the inflammation, and then a few other key things we do. And it's amazing how many people with mild to moderate dementia we've reversed.
All right. I think all of us, I'm 76, so you say, well, you got justifiable reason to have a little dementia. Well, I'll tell you what, if I can do anything to keep my mind sharp, I want to do it. I believe you do too, and Dr. Colbert knows. This book, there isn't anyone that's influenced us more when it comes to eating than Don Colbert. And I think most of you knew, Betty and I have lost a lot of weight, and we've kept it off now for years. And really, this man was an inspirational source. And what it does, it really does add life to your years, not just years to your life. And this is going to be a blessing. We want to send it to you for any gift. Now, I want you to look in on a real serious need. Now, you're going to see Sheila Walsh. I want you to really connect with her, because she refers to the fact Betty and I have spent 30 years pouring life into these precious people that are the least of these, too often overlooked. And there is a perfect miracle cure for the challenges they face. It's not wishful thinking or hope this works. It is absolutely perfect in its effect. And it is all transferred, delivered by love, God's love, through a yielded vessel like you. Watch closely and prayerfully. And remember, this is the last week now for us to talk about this particular miracle that you can absolutely deliver. Listen to Sheila. Listen to God.
The birth of a child is one of the most transcendent moments in time. The miracle of life. Tiny hands and feet, we instinctively see they're created in the image of God. And over time, they grow into the young men and women they were designed to be. At least, that's every parent's hope and prayer.
I don't know if you can see. Oh, darling, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to hurt you, but can you see her skin? Her skin has begun to literally peel off her body.
Throughout Africa, terrible events like famine and drought have decimated entire communities and left many with little or no food. The devastating effects of severe food shortages are most visible in the children.
With severe malnutrition, the first organ to shut down is the skin. It's as if all the reserves go to try and protect what's left inside. James and Betty, you have sat here over and over and over through the years, faithfully serving and feeding millions. But I know you'll see this. This mom, who is desperate like any mom would be to save the life of her precious child, had to travel 30 kilometers to get here. But it's why mission feeding matters so much. We talk about life where it's needed most. Where it's needed most is in the villages where these darling children live. Because this mom shouldn't have to travel 30 kilometers with a desperately sick little lamb. They need our help, and they need it now.
When I look at those children, I just can't even express the love and the compassion and care that flows in my heart for them. You may not know this, but Sheila talked about us being 30 years active helping them. And you may or may not know, but several times I was taken hostage, and one time they, even Peter Pretorius said, I don't think we're getting away this time. And only God saw us through. And you may not know, but Betty injured her back so severely. Had viewers like you not provided what was called the Life Angel transport plane where she could lay down, the neurosurgeons told us she would likely have been paralyzed for life because she had done that kind of damage to her lower back. But she was able to lay down, and we got her back here to the States where she could have surgery, and she's all right. But you say, why do you take risks like that? Why do you go through that? Because the love of God for those little children that those mothers see, the little child that Sheila was talking about, that those skins just falling off. And you just see that they're just desperate for life, and the mother loves them so much. But we love them too because the love of God's in our heart, and the love of God's in your heart. And so in this last week of mission feeding, we've got to have a miracle because, boy, we've been through a lot. It's hurt income in everybody's family. But, boy, these people's lives depend upon it. You know, it's like sometimes if you don't do something, well, you don't get to do something here. But with what we do, if we don't do it there, they die. Because their future depends upon the love of God through you. So I'm asking you to go online or dial that number and take your bank card. Please use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, and then call us and tell us how much you're sending. We need to know. But I'm asking you to make the greatest gift you can possibly make. I mean, really reach down. You may say, well, James, it's going to be a sacrifice, but you're going to be the miracle that mother prays for and the miracle those children need and the miracle that we have watched for more than 30 years save 15 million lives, according to the reports from the African governments and those overseers. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of love, but it's one child at a time. $30. Think about this. We can feed 3 children for the next month. 50, we can feed 5. And I always say, if you could help us feed 10, give $100. And I'm going to say to many of you right now, if there's any way you could give $1,000 and help us take care of 100, then you be that miracle. Father, I pray every person watching will do whatever they can, maybe bigger than they ever thought, because they're going to be the miracle someone longs for and needs in Jesus' name. This is not wishful thinking. Your gift provides the miracle cure. It's food. It's nutrition. It's a love of God expressed through missionaries that risk their lives to share life and to save lives. Please go online, dial the number, use that bank card like a check. Make the best gift you can, knowing that you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving life. Thank you so much for doing it. Remember, this is the last week. We need to hear from you right now.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. This softcover journal includes pictures from the mission field and inspiring scriptures as a reminder of your impact in giving to bless lives around the world. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Global Impact Bible. This English Standard Version presents a fascinating guide to the impact of the best-selling book of all time, filled with quotes from well-known figures, photographs, and reproductions of fine art. It highlights the many surprising ways Scripture has shaped civilization. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You can see here how our staff are actually busy measuring the arm circumference of these children. So what they do is they measure their arm circumference, they measure their height, they measure their weight, and then they gauge that against the age of the child, because for many of these children, they're suffering from severe malnutrition. And the shocking thing is we find children in this area that literally are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and yet they are the weight and the size of a child half their age. This is a crisis, and crisis requires a massive action. And that's what I'm asking you today, to give a massive action, an action of life, life-saving by providing food to these children, to their mothers, to this village that so desperately needs it.
I don't think there's any question you've been moved to action during this last week. We started out talking about this book that could add not only years to your life, but life to your years, how it affected me and Betty and so many others. We want to send it to you for any gift. You're giving the greatest gift, the gift of life. You're saving lives. You're the miracle. And we're going to tell them about the life Jesus offers for all eternity. Please make that gift this last week and know that we'll send you the gifts we mentioned plus Dr. Colbert's book. Thank you so much.
Next week on Life Today, Dr. David Jeremiah pulls back the curtain, revealing the mysteries of heaven by answering some of the most popular questions. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.